There's something about them girls dancing for you. Get you all excited. Got me back into the swing of things. Let me bring us in a little closer. What's up, peoples? I'm back. I'm hanging out with the sumos. He's back. It's Saturday night. He got his little blowtorch going. Wait to find out exactly what he's drinking. Is that the man shirt? Are you representing the Beckys or the Lynch? Oh, no, it's the flare shirt. Okay. I could only see man. I couldn't see the other part. What up, man? I see we got a neighbor. You should be on the show. I don't think you can hear me. Can he? Oh, snap. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Big Daddy Raj. I am.
Go ahead.
I am the manager of the reigning, defending WrestleManiacs champion, the Nubian Sumo.
Acknowledge me, mother. You know the rest.
I give it to you. You got the intro going on. I'm down with it. You got the championship draped across the shoulder there. Go ahead and show it to the peoples. Get a little closer because, you know, somebody who's watching that's out in special assignment don't show the belt that often.
He never shows the belt.
I know, right? I guess probably because he doesn't straight keep it.
Hold on, let me get these wires up and crossed over here.
That's right. Look at that. Look at that sexiness right there. Ooh, there it is. Glistening in all its glory.
And don't it look good where it belongs?
No.
It looks wonderful where it belongs.
That's only temporary, but love it, have it, wear it while you got it. And then while you're getting into it, you might as well tell us what the smoke is, what the drink is, bring the people up to speed.
Oh, come on now. You know the smoke got to be epic. We pulled out the Cohiba, the Cubans tonight. Mm. Mm. Of course, we got to celebrate properly. And what better way to celebrate properly than with a little Fort Mose? Of course, you too can have a champion's drink with your champion. Well, as soon as you go to www.buyformose.com/discount/maniacs and get your own bottle of this loveliness and have a championship drink with your boy, the Nubian Sumo.
I'd love to celebrate with you, but I don't like you. So that's pretty much how that's going to go. But congratulations on having your drink of choice, your smoke of choice, and, you know, allegedly becoming a big champion. I'm happy that you were able to cross that bridge at least once in 2024. Everybody's got to have at least, you know, the sunshine on one time. That's about it. That's your acknowledgement.
Whatever you say.
I appreciate you saying that because I'm correct.
I am the forever champion.
No. As I was saying, first of all, welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, what do you want to talk about? This is an open forum today. Not too much on the breakdown for you know, the show. So we're just going to free Willy this one. And I guess the first thing, and the kind of the most important thing that we should talk about is the storyline with Ruby Soho. And do you think she's really pregnant? Firing lines want to know.
We have no idea whether she's really pregnant or not. I mean, ain't nobody did a storyline like this in a minute. You know,
I mean, right?
It hasn't. You haven't really seen them or heard about them being actually together, other than storyline. So
Instagram,
I mean,
it's not showing him at all.
Right. So
let me go see this something, a celebratory something. So it's looking like a work.
I think this is a kayfabe. I think this is a kayfabe pregnancy. This might be a Mae Young pregnancy. She might come out with a hand.
Well, kind of ironic that in the same place there is a hand is always Mark Henry. Just saying. So we'll have to see. But that was a surprise this week, just to say the least. Ruby Soho telling, what was that? Is that Cool Hand Angel? What's his name?
Yeah, Angela Parker.
Yeah. You know, telling him that she was pregnant after the show. So this was after Dynamite Pop.
Well, she's pregnant. You know, she was
pregnant. Yeah, well, I know that, but I'm saying, you know, telling him that allegedly. You know, we'll have to wait and see if there's going to be some baby registry stuff and how long they're going to play this. Because she's not, you know, well, let's just say she's petite. So she's going to have to show in 2 months, maybe three. So she could eat a bunch of food. I don't know. We'll have to see. But either way, ironically, our lovely show happened to have a conversation about how to wrestle and breastfeed at the same time. So she's more than welcome to go back and watch that episode. Hopefully Becky Lynch has watched that episode. Well, I can't really say Brandy. I guess she was wrestling a little bit, but Brandy Rhodes could have hopefully watched that episode. And we're keeping our fingers crossed for Natalya. Just why not? You know, at this stage of the game, why not? But just something cool to see. So from that point, let's go ahead and rewind it back to the acknowledgement, because the last time, at least I was on the show, we were talking about some wrestles and some manias. And then the fallout from that is the tribal chief going off into the wilderness, and rightfully so. But now somebody that he appointed as the next tribal chief, Solo, is basically taking this from, what's the best way to put it? Taking it from like the streets and a gang mentality to now he's moved it up into the Godfather. He's got a suit on. He's got some shoes on. We brought in Tama Tonga. And there's still a couple more Samoans that could become a part of this faction. We beat out Jimmy Uso. So what do you think this is going to go? And well, correction. We know that there's going to be a reckoning, which is going to be a face turn for Roman. How it's going to happen, how deep it's going to go. But not that far down the road. But if you could just paint out, let's say, the next 2 to 3 months, what would interest you to continue to watch this storyline for SmackDown?
Well, let's see. What could happen? You got Jacob Fatu, who's already said that he signed with the WWE, that could show up at any time now.
Mm-hmm.
You have Zilla Fatu, who is his tag team partner with the new Samoan SWAT team that has been training with Booker T.
Right.
That is supposed to be coming into the fold. You got Hikaleo, who's the youngest brother of Tama Tonga, whose contract is supposed to be up sometime between now and June, who could show up. No telling what the middle brother, Tongaloa, no telling what his contract looks like, because New Japan's not even using him at this time. Last time he had a match was during the New Japan Cup, and he was pretty much cannon fodder for the bracket that he was in. So a lot can happen between now and SummerSlam as far as that lineup. You know, then you have on the other side of things, you got Jimmy and Jay coming off of their WrestleMania match. You're most likely going to see them getting back together at some point now that Jimmy's been jumped out. That would bring him and Roman, them two and Roman back together.
Right. But then he's somebody on the side. That's only three versus potentially if everybody comes on board that you mentioned and go with Solo, you know, that's three versus what, six or seven?
Yeah, but you still got Cody in the mix as champion. So you bring Cody in the mix. You now have Kevin Owens who's in the mix now that they done jumped him. They've been jumping on him real bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a War Games right there for you.
Or Survivor Series. Traditional Survivor, or Survivor. Series. 4v4 at least. If they stretch it that long to November. But, you know, let's be honest. We're already creeping up on May. So November is not too far away.
So, It's going to be interesting to see where they go with this. I'm not seeing Roman coming in anytime soon. I don't even think he will be back before SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm not expecting it either. I don't think
him to be back. Yeah, I wouldn't look for him. I'm not, you know, expecting him. The longer he's gone, the better off it is, really, because then that builds up the want for him. They already cheered for him, you know, right. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny, you know, if anybody that watched SmackDown Friday night when Paul Heyman was introducing himself and everything, and I was talking about Roman, and the fans started cheering like they wanted Roman. We want Roman. We want Roman. You can see Solo mouthing, oh, now you want him.
Right.
Now you want him. And it was funny because it's funny even more so because back about two years ago, there was an interview that was done with Roman Reigns where he talked about, you know, yeah, they're going to miss me when I'm gone.
Yep.
You know, it'd be funny when they're going to miss me when I actually get out of here and I leave and I'm nowhere to be found. That's when people are going to want me. You know, wrestling fans are so fickle.
Yep.
You know, that was around the time when everybody was using the word fickle was the word in wrestling at that time.
Yeah. Thanks to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan was using it. He was using it. It was a whole bunch of wrestlers that were using it. But
that and Grit?
Grit. Right. So, yeah, so that has come to fruition. So, because now everybody all of a sudden now wants Roman. Now that he's a famous line that Jim Cornette always says, how can you miss me if I never go away?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Or Mike Jones, back then you didn't want me. Now I'm hot.
Didn't want me now. It's all upon me. Right.
Mike Jones, let me ask you this, though. Is it time to finally bring the female presence into the bloodline? We saw Nia acknowledging Roman pre-WrestleMania during the Hall of Fame. Should they just go ahead and pull that trigger? Change the game up, add a different layer?
Why not? I mean, you got what we like to call black girl magic that's kind of got a little chink in the armor all of a sudden because now you got Jade and you got Bianca hanging out with each other, mm-hmm. but you're not seeing Naomi hanging out with them as much. She's dealing with Bayley.
Right.
So now they're talking about Jade and Bianca going after the tag titles, the women's tag titles together.
Mm-hmm.
Where I thought, you know, the three of them together would probably be Naomi and Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
But now this puts a little, you know, like I said, it puts a little wrinkle into everything right now. So, you know, because you're only seeing those two together. You're not seeing them, Naomi, with them as much as you did. So,
so that means you would put Nia with Solo and then Naomi with her husband when all this starts to come into play?
Yeah.
Or yeah, Solo threaten her and say, hey, you saw what we did to Kevin Owens. Your husband is next. Unless you join us to do what we say. You could go
that could happen.
I mean, you know, Triple H is doing a great job on the long-term storytelling and flipping a script, you know, going against the grain. And, you know, that would be something nobody would expect. And, you know, she may like it. So, you know, that adds another layer to it. Her versus Nia hasn't happened in quite some time. I think, what, maybe 2 or 3 years since we've seen those two wrestle against each other? At least on a Monday?
I think they're more so going to concentrate on Naomi being in the women's title picture, rather than putting her into that spot in the bloodline. I think because they don't really have too many going on right now with that title. Because look at what they're getting ready to do Monday. Well, is it Monday or Friday that they're getting ready to have this tournament? It's only this battle royal.
It'll be Monday for the championship title.
So I mean, look, you got a battle royal going on Monday for Rhea Ripley's vacant title. You know, there are really only three women in the running for that. Even though they got a list of like maybe 12 to 15 women in that battle royal, there's only three that stand out: Becky, Liv Morgan, and Nia Jax. So, you know,
they're not going to give it to Nia because then who's going to beat her? Liv is an option.
I think they're going to give it to Liv because Becky's talking about leaving to spend time with her husband.
Yep. Get well, Seth.
Nia hard sell because, you know, who's, like you said, who's going to beat her once she gets it?
When
Rhea actually comes back, she's coming back for the title. She's coming back for Liv anyway. Two birds, one stone.
But they could also do Tiffany Stratton. They could give it to an NXT person and make it work that way, just to give Liv somebody to go after and beat at the pay-per-view. Maxine Dupree, no. Tana Chance, no. Indy Hartwell, no. Natty's in it. Natty could actually. You can't hear me? You have an audio trouble? Can you hear me? Test one, test two. Super.
You can't hear him?
Oh, Lord. Looks like he's having technical difficulties. The way that belt is holding him down. Unfortunately, he can't hear. He probably can't cut a promo either. You were also on mute. Yeah, I can hear you. I got you loud and clear.
Okay, I can hear you now. Okay.
Yeah, you broke it.
I'm sorry.
It was the way technical that belt. Difference.
The belt's not used to, you know, my equipment is not used to the aura of this belt being around. No, so yeah. I got to recalibrate. I got to recalibrate everything in here. So
what I was saying was, you know, you do have a couple other options. You've got Indy Hartwell, who's in it. I don't expect that. Katana Chance, no. Chelsea Green, no. Maxine Dupree, no. But Natalya, that could be a thing. Yeah. What I was saying was you could give it to Liv in a battle royal, or you can have Liv win at a pay-per-view. I'd rather see her beat somebody put the belt on Natalya just for the moment. I mean, Natalya's put over everybody. At some point, you know, even R-Truth just became champion. Respect to R-Truth, but come on now. Just, they could put it on Natalya for just once. And then she goes in a Hall of Fame next year.
Do you really think she wants to be a transitional champion, though?
Do you think she wants to be a jobber?
She already is a jobber.
Exactly. So why not? That's a step up from any jobber as the transitional champion.
Yeah.
She can retire after that.
Just she can retire now. I mean, she got all those Guinness World Records and whatnot. I mean, you know.
But again, you got to think about it. What would the shock value be from the Triple H era? Nobody's expecting it. Everybody's expecting Liv for the storyline. But what if it's Natalya? You could have it come down to three people. Liv and it could still be Liv and Becky. You know, they're close to the ropes. Natalya just happens to be there and flips them over. And they go over all three on the outside apron. And then, you know, Natty's the only one that's able to hold on. She's done that thing where she's fell backwards on the ropes and held herself up by her feet before. I think we've seen that. It's been a while since she's done it at a Royal Rumble, but we've seen her do it. So, you know, they fall down. She's holding herself by her feet, pulls herself up, skins the cat, and then, you know, she's champion. Nobody would expect it, but it would be something different. And then that gives Liv somebody to do run-ins on. You know, Natty can cut a heartfelt promo. Oh, my God, I never thought it was going to happen. This is the greatest day of my life. I wish my father could be here. You know, she could give a tearjerker. And then Liv just, you know, pounces on it. Heel turn for Liv.
Yeah, well.
Just my thought. I think it would be cool.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. But it could. It's not that it can't happen. I'm not saying it can't happen. But, you know. We'll
something
see.
Different. I mean, while we got everything else that's happening, pretty interesting. I mean, you know, he's throwing stuff up against the wall under his leadership and everything is sticking, you know. Nobody thought that even though Roman was doing the coronation thing, that Solo would be able to come out this hardcore and to be able to give that commanding presence. So it shows that he sat under the learning tree and watched and observed what Roman did, and he's doing it in his own fashion. So, you know, that's a lot of opportunity there. Speaking of opportunity, tell me what you think about these new championships for the tag teams. The WWE Tag Team Championship for SmackDown and the WWE World Tag Team Championships for Raw. You have a favorite? Don't like them?
I don't think they're putting WWE on the world title. So I think it's just the World Tag Team Championships. But yeah, those Raw titles are butt ugly.
They are.
To me. I mean, you can tell with both belts that they're doing the throwback thing. I mean, the Raw titles pretty much a throwback to Big Globe.
Right.
The world titles that everybody knows Triple H to have. You know, the one that was started with Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, it's pretty much a throwback to, well, not a throwback, but, you know, it stays in the same grain as the world title that they have now, the one that Seth just gave up and the one that Rhea just gave up. So, that's not a good looking belt. I was like, why with that? Who came up with that one?
Yeah, it looks like a rework of the IC title, to be honest with you. Like, they just took that template and say, well, what could we change on it? Print it and go.
Now, the other title.
I figured you would like that one.
Yeah, I'm liking that one.
I figured you would like that one.
They took that old school tag title and they put it on a stick and kind of put it in the fire, you know, kind of like a s'more and kind of smushed it down a little bit. They moved that top banner down to the bottom for the tag team championship banner.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's so many titles you can see in that belt. It's that belt. I can actually see the NWA World Title in that belt. You know, I can. It's it, you know.
Throwback to old WCW one.
That one was done very well.
Yeah. The moment I saw it, I was like, that's sumo approved. I didn't even have technically have to ask you about it, but just for the people, you know, got to be fair to both. But yeah, I knew you were going to mark out over that one. And speaking about marking out, we'll be back in a moment after the sumo approved message. Yep, not like that Cena tournament.
Oh, man. And love it. I did not approve that.
You approved of it. One of those photos that looked like you was mailing your census. So we appreciate you supporting your local environment and schools and everything else, if that's what that envelope was for. So. Thank you for doing the census and being a perfect citizen of your local area. So changing the tune a little bit, I'm going to give you some numbers that recently came up. And then I want to ask you, well, actually, this will be a good segue in to something else that we need to talk about that was aired on AEW Dynamite last week. So as of 2 days ago, these are the top selling t-shirts on WWEshop.com. I'm only going to go over, we'll say from six to number one. So six is Jey Uso's Yeet Blue t-shirt. Fifth, Jay's Yeet Black t-shirt. Fourth, CM Punk's 2011 Classic t-shirt. Third, CM Punk's return t-shirt. Second, The Rock showing up with the Final Boss t-shirt. And number one in the top selling t-shirts week to date as of the 18th was CM Punk's Peace t-shirt. So CM Punk is moving some product. CM Punk, when they are able to interject him in based off of whatever's happening, we saw it at WrestleMania with commentary. We saw it during the pre-show. But when CM Punk is there, he is generating ratings. So much so that his not even in attendance segment generated ratings for AEW when they aired the video from the Brawlout, is what it's being called by Kenny Omega, between him and Jack Perry. So first question, because we haven't really had a chance to dig into it. After you watch the video, do you feel like that was one of the dumbest moves that Tony Khan could have done? Or do you think that, yeah, it is a smart move to just throw it out there as a springboard and get people talking about the Young Bucks versus FTR match coming up for their pay-per-view? Tomorrow, actually.
Oh yeah, it's a lot going on tonight. You know, coming off. Just a little side note for anybody that doesn't know. Right now, you've got the Haney and Garcia fight undercard going on right now, as well as the TNA Rebellion pay per view is going on right now, as well as the 3 hours of Rampage and Collision that'll be airing tonight for AEW.
Which so, is basically 6 hours for them.
Lead into tomorrow's Dynasty pay-per-view. But so if anybody's wondering, you know, what's going on, anything's going on tonight, there's plenty going on right now. Mm-hmm. But going back to the subject, at first I thought it was dumb. At first I thought it was like, I was like, you know, why would you do that? You know, what I mean, you got a guy who's not in your company anymore, going up and you're focusing on a guy who you've suspended that's working for another company right now. You know, what's the, and it's all supposed to be leading up to a match between FTR and the Young Bucks, which neither one was in the video, but apparently they were supposed to have something to do with the video. Mm-hmm. At some point, or actually flashing back to what happened prior to that, because the two incidents don't have anything to do with each other, right?
Not really, no.
Yeah, they just, neither one of the instances that they're trying to bring up, have the two have nothing to do with each other. CM Punk rub. Right. It's just a CM Punk rub, pretty much. So why bring that up when you're not concentrating on Jack Perry? I see if you were concentrating on Jack Perry and his storyline, but mm-hmm. this has something to do with something totally opposite or totally not related to what the video was about. So I'm not getting it, you know. But then again, they did have a high rating that night. It kind of backfired on them because it brought up CM Punk, and it helped CM Punk and his, you know, popularity. But it also helped out Jack Perry.
Yep.
Because Jack, the shirt that Matt was wearing, the scapegoat shirt, wound up selling out once that video aired, after that video aired. And now that brought more eyes onto Jack Perry being over in Japan, being that he was in a title match 2 days after that, two or three days after that video aired.
Yep. And so, now he's coming back. He's
and
done.
Now he's coming back to that he's going to be off of his suspension, and he's coming back to AEW. So 6 in one hand, half a dozen in the other. You know, right. It can be considered a bad move because of the what it did for or the which what I should say is the Mick Foley effect.
You're right.
Which Mick Foley effect, you know, being a you know, yeah, exactly. So it could be a bad thing on that situation, but then it was good for the fact that they got the rating push, they got the push for Jack Perry. It sold his shirts out, so it put money in people's pockets. Controversy creates cash.
Right.
No such thing as bad publicity. You know, it all goes into that. So, you know, it's you can't really say one way or the other whether it worked or not.
You can't. I don't think the ratings is what was hoped for. It fell flat on the build for the match because it's really irrelevant, you know, because if you would have had maybe 2 weeks out or a month out, and you kept, you know, giving teasers, you know, showing a little snippet this week, a little snippet next week, and by the last week, the go-home show, then you showed the ending of it, and then, you know, you cut a promo to that leading into FTR, then maybe you could kind of make it work. But just to do it, show it, and then CM Punk's interview literally said exactly what happened.
Right.
So it's like, He just narrated the video.
If you're trying to make him out to be a liar, right, that backfired.
Yeah. Right. So at that point, you know, you put him over.
But in the end, it was just a last minute decision. Really. I mean, it was a spur of the moment decision, because let's say they even thought about the Jack Perry match that was going to happen afterwards.
Right.
I mean, Jack Perry's going up against the IWGP World Champion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And had a good match.
And had a great match.
But so, that's the unforeseen. They didn't plan on that. They didn't plan on the shirt right. selling out. You know, and I think that's why he's coming back, is because it's smarter to bring him back to counteract and let him cut promos. They're going to have to let him pipe bomb. And that will, you know, set things up. It'll happen tomorrow, I would imagine, hopefully. So that way we could get him in the mix and they can kind of recoup something and offset or take advantage of the fact that CM Punk is not at the WWE consistently at the moment. You know, he may be here or there, so they can work that in. But yeah, my question is, the vitality of AEW, in my opinion, is still codependent on one person, MJF. He's got to be close to being healthy, to being 100%. Where does that put him?
Look, your wishes will be granted on tomorrow night. MJF will make an appearance on tomorrow night. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay? You haven't seen MJF at all, right? He didn't show up at WrestleMania like everybody thought he would, right?
Well, that we saw, correct.
We haven't heard of any contract signings with WWE. We haven't heard of any meetings with anybody within WWE that we saw or heard about. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's look at the pay-per-view tomorrow. Chris Jericho has trademarked the use of the phrase rarefied air of Jericho. There is a wrestler in MLW named Richard Holiday who uses the term rarefied air in his promo. That's like his closing line. That's like his catchphrase. Breathing the rarefied air of Richard Holiday. That's his thing. Richard Holiday is a former tag team partner of MJF. MJF, Richard Holiday, and Alex Hammerstone were a member of a faction in MLW called The Dynasty.
Mm.
And the font that they're using for AEW Dynasty is the same font they used for their faction in MLW.
Mm. Break it down.
So if you're one of those who looks at things, you know, on a deeper level within wrestling, these little Easter eggs and whatnot, these little pieces of puzzles that they try to put together, MJF is showing up tomorrow night.
Are you upset that it's going to be? Oh, wow. Santana's back in TNA. I knew that's where it was going to go, but Santana is back. I wonder where we're going to go with that.
Well, he's a solo act now. You know, he doesn't want to be in a tag team anymore. So
he can't form his own group.
He could form his own group, but he's not looking to be in a tag team anymore. So I don't even think he would go with a group anymore. I think he's gonna set himself up to come after Moose or whoever, or Nick Nemeth, whoever comes out of this main event tonight as world champion. He's gonna go after them. Yeah. And it is coming because what's the guy's name? The guy that's married to Deonna Purrazzo.
Oh, you're talking about not Switchblade
with the Forgotten Sons.
Yeah.
Probably wrestling on that card. Probably. I can't think of his name.
I know what you're talking about, but
to leave, and they talk about him coming to WWE, coming back to WWE.
That'd be interesting.
So they need somebody in there that's gonna be able to stand up against Moose. And the way Santana has been running on his own since he broke off from Ortiz, he is that dude.
Right. So would you be upset or would you – not even upset, but do you want him to go to WWE? Or
who?
Or it's not necessary yet?
It would be interesting for him to go to WWE now that Cody is champion. But I think he still got unfinished business in AEW. Because he's got to get back at Adam Cole at some point.
Do you think
he's got to go after the WWE championship?
That's my only concern. You know, it's almost I'm getting that feeling like Bret Hart. If Bret Hart was at WCW for a splash, let's say a year, and then went back to WWE, you know, well, yeah, I think we would have still had him because it took about a year before he had that Goldberg match, or pretty close to where, you know, his career was ended. But if he could have went back and had some more, you know, super matches, it would have made more sense. I know that was still, you know, all the other stuff that was going on. But that could have been more Bret Hart opportunity. If he goes and signs a 2 or 3 year deal with Tony Khan, and if, you know, AEW is around for 3 years, that's more time versus when we get strike while the iron is hot and he can walk in and make an impact. You could do this would be the good callback opportunity for Booker T to be backstage with Cody, and then he could do his tell me I didn't just see that. As MJF is walking by and Cody's like, what the heck is going on? And you see him walking by with a sweater, but he ends up drafted to SmackDown.
No, I mean, like you said, we don't really know what's going on with him, but you know, he could be signed with them right now and they've been able to keep it under wraps. You know, a signing like that, I'm sure, Sapp or, you know, Meltzer or somebody would have found out about that by now and leaked it. But
it's only if, you know, because Meltzer's lead-in is going to be the Young Bucks. So MJF isn't talking to the Bucks and he's not talking to Khan, then you know, these things can happen. But, you know, we've seen him have great interactions, MJF, that is, with John Cena at the Iron Claw premiere and a couple other things. We've seen him hanging out with Liv Morgan at the beach and some other superstars. We've seen him at sporting events, you know, and crossing paths with other folks. I say I'm quite sure he was at WrestleMania. If I was a betting man, we saw what's his name? Ricky Starks was there.
Ricky Starks was there, and somebody else was there. Was it his brother? They were in the same.
I haven't seen Dustin. But I wouldn't be surprised he was there.
Sweet with Ricky Starks. I can't remember who it was though.
Yeah, I just saw it.
I wouldn't doubt that he wouldn't have been there. He'd have been there in some kind of capacity. If he wasn't in that suite. You know, I'm sure he would have been on the floor of the sky somewhere sitting, you know, amongst the
somewhere. Yeah,
you know. So
So yeah. Those conversations could have been had or could be had. We'll just have to see. But I just don't want his time wasted because he comes back. He has a quick program with Adam Cole. Done.
QT Marshall.
Where do we go from there? QT Marshall, that's who it was?
That's what Roger said.
Awesome. Yeah. That would make sense because that'd be the Nightmare family. So if Dustin couldn't be there, that's still the wrestling school being represented. So interesting.
Now that we talked about that, what do you think about let me bring up a question.
Okay.
You think about John Moxley winning the IWGP world title?
I think it's good for his transition out of AEW. I don't know how much long he's got on his contract, but I think it's good for his get out, his exit strategy. He spends time in Japan. He comes back to the WWE. That's all I see is that is a great opportunity for him. Because just looking back at, Will Ospreay's promo. I mean, I like Will Ospreay, but he didn't have to go super deep about the boss's daughter and all that stuff. We're starting to, and I agree with a lot of those Instagram and X's or tweets or whatever, talking about this is starting to look WCW-ish at the downfall of WCW. And Renee did not look too happy to watch Will Ospreay talk about, that boss's daughter segment aiming at a Triple H. So I think it's time for him to get out of Dodge. There's nothing more that Moxley can offer to AEW at this point. He's carried the company on his back, what, three times? Two of which during the pandemic. There's nothing else for him to prove. The Blackpool Combat Club is just in existence. Bryan Danielson can handle that. There's nothing left unless he goes to hang out in Ring of Honor. There's nothing left for it. So that's my thought. Good exit strategy. What about you?
Well, I mean, it was a lot. They was talking about Blackpool Combat Club at the beginning of the year, like toward the end of last year. They were talking about how the Blackpool Combat Club was going to be spending a lot of time in Japan this year. So now for me to think that they would put the IWGP world title on Moxley, I think they would prefer more to put it on Kenny Omega than the Moxley.
Yeah.
But Omega's not around and not sure as to when he's going to be coming back. I mean, he must be feeling better because he's going along. He's been seen in a lot of places as far as video game stuff is concerned. So, Kenny Omega has made mention of his dislike of the new Marigold promotion that's getting ready to get started for the former Stardom owner starting up his new program or his new promotion going against Stardom. So I just find it kind of funny that they were putting that belt on him right now, especially taking it off of Tetsuya Naito.
Right.
And then for them to start touting, he's the first guy to win the WWE, AEW, and IWGP World Championships,
Wait a minute, didn't Jericho have that belt? Did he win the IWGP?
I looked this up. Okay, so I knew if I brought this up, one of y'all were going to ask me this. So I brought this up. Oh, I've looked it up. There are five wrestlers right now that are one belt away from having that same accolade as Moxley. WWE, AEW, IWGP. Can you name them? All five of these guys have at least two of those three belts right now. And you already named one.
Jericho? Oh, you're talking
about Jericho.
Right.
Jericho is one.
Then Bryan Danielson do it?
No.
Or Daniel Bryan?
Bryan Danielson has never won an IWGP heavyweight title. He had the junior title at one time, but not the heavyweight.
That's what I was thinking about. I guess Kenny Omega.
Yes. That's two.
His is WWE. Can't say Cody because he never won an AEW one. So he'll be too far removed.
AJ Styles.
Rod says AJ Styles, which is correct. So that's three.
Did Jay White win? He didn't win a heavyweight championship, did he?
No, he never won AEW, and he's never been in WWE.
Right. I was trying to remember if he won the AEW one or not. What was that, three? Shoot, I'm brain farting on who else. Would have crossed through at least two out of the three promotions. Who else is there? I guess Mox would be four. Well, would be.
Well, no, Mox would be included in the five.
Right.
Mox would be included in the five.
I'm at a loss.
Both of them. Okay, I put it to you like this. The last two, one is current, one is a current wrestler, one could be considered a current wrestler because he hasn't retired yet.
Doesn't help anything. You and your hints, there's a lot of people.
Okay, both would be WWE right now.
WWE current. Well, see, there hadn't been an AEW. Well, actually, no, because I guess AEW would be the third one that they
could have gotten. It could have been an AEW, WWE, and they have.
WWE in New Japan.
Right.
Main eventers?
Both.
We called AJ.
Not Rey Mysterio.
No. Not Rey Mysterio.
No. Oh, Finn Balor?
No.
Really?
Finn Balor won the junior title and never won the heavyweight title.
Okay.
And he's never been in AEW.
Well, he would have WWE and New Japan, just not AEW, so still one of the three.
Well, I'm just covering all bases.
Bully Ray.
Bully Ray, no.
He didn't retire. Well, he should have. I think he's halfway. Yeah, this is a tough one, dude. It's going to seem simple when you say them, but yeah
when I say them, you're like, oh man.
Go ahead and say one, because I'll tap out on one, and maybe that'll proc the second name.
I'm going to give you the one that you probably won't remember. The one that semi-retired.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't have gone there. That's a long time ago. That's
he has one IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and he has one WWE title. So the other one is WWE now, current.
I don't know why I'm feeling Seth, but I'm trying to remember if he was over there.
Seth has never won IWGP. But
he was there, though. Yeah.
He was there, though, yeah.
So I am thinking right. Okay, so yeah.
Nakamura?
Yeah.
No.
Damn.
Nakamura's never won WWE or AEW.
That's right. Yeah, that's a tough one. See, you need damn quizzes. All right, who is it?
Well, I haven't seen this to you in a while, so you know.
I at least got two of them.
I mean, with a whole bunch of WrestleMania trivia too that I was going to bring out, but I never did. So
I got two. So you know, my stock has been raised.
You want the last one?
Yep.
Yeah. CM Punk.
That's right. God dang it. God dang it. Yep.
That's why I didn't remember.
God dang. Yep. Didn't even put him in the mindset. Yeah. And we talked about it. So you should have said, and we talked about him tonight. Then I could have pulled it out.
Why would I give that away though? Why would I give that away?
No, that was a good one though. But that is rarefied air, I guess. Yeah. So, you know, shout out to Moxley for that accolade. So let me ask you this as we, you know, I guess as our go home segment, final segment of the show. We're getting closer and closer to Raw going to Netflix. What's your feeling? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you wish it would stay, you know, tried and true on USA? How are you negotiating this change?
I'm not really liking the fact that you're going to be made to pay to watch Raw now. But for those who choose to pay for Netflix just to watch WWE.
You was paying to watch Raw for 30 years. It's on cable.
Yeah, Raw, stop. That's my argument.
that's different, though. I mean, that's kind of different. Because you don't have to.
It's the same thing.
I guess it kind of is, but now you're paying extra because now you're getting, because for those who don't have Netflix, you only got SmackDown now.
Well, yeah, but think about the landscape of the world. How many people have cut the cord from cable? And I'm going to give you an example. I have, I'm down, you know, in the Carolinas, so I'm using Spectrum. My streaming platform for Spectrum does not have USA. Unless I remove something else to try to squeeze USA in if they have it as an add-in at the time. So I don't have USA, and I don't have TNT, and I don't have TBS. So Fox I have, so SmackDown I can watch. But the other three, I can't watch anything AEW, so I have to do it through the TNT app. And a TBS app, and or I could watch it through Fubo, but that's another cost. So for me, guess what I do have? Netflix. Guess what has great service everywhere? Netflix. No matter where I am, I can cast Netflix on the TV. It's right there. So the $13 or whatever, $16, even though they sent us that email many moons ago saying you will never have a rate hike, liars. But whatever right. I'm paying for Netflix, I'm going to get my money's worth out of it now because I can watch Raw live. Only thing I can't do is record it. Hopefully they fix that soon. So, you know, but Netflix is there. So I was curious to see what you thought because initially, I'm like, "Oh, stupid."
Threw in my point.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was my con for it.
Okay.
My pros for it though is they're already starting with what I was gonna say. You know, it brings out more elements of wrestling that we haven't had with WWE before. Now you're getting the blood. You get the blood back. You get blood back into the WWE because Kevin Owens was bleeding like a stuck pig Friday night. I don't know how he bladed himself or what he did, but yo, that was gruesome.
Yeah, that was full Technicolor.
And then, you know, you get you'll get more, and I don't want to say attitude era. Type stuff, but it'll bring you them out of the PG era.
Yeah.
It'll bring them more to the more an adult type of wrestling. that will help them compete or compete against anybody else that might come out. Because, you know, the PG era stuff, I mean, okay, but.
Well, shoot, Triple H admitted the PG was really G.
Right.
It wasn't for the Rock popping up here, there, or an occasional. They was running G content.
So you're gonna have a whole lot more actual storylines and gimmicks that you could bring out from old, you know, that you wouldn't be able to do under the PG era. So it'll end up being a good thing at some, you know, once it gets going.
Yeah, I think it'll be better once their Peacock contract is over, and then we can get full unlocked content on Netflix, unedited, heavily redacted. You know, the Attitude Era with the Attitude. I understand how you could show that entire time period on Peacock without the Attitude. Like, everybody loses all the context in which you're trying to establish as Hall of Famers to these young kids that are coming up if they can't see the Hall of Fame content. Makes no sense to me. But I was just curious because, like I said, we're getting closer and closer to, you know, when that's going to go live. And then
January.
Yeah, we still got to factor in the CW. And then there's also that period that still hasn't been discussed between the end of the contract officially with USA and then we go to Netflix. I still think USA is going to do it a la carte and say, hey, look, you know, we'll do it on a month to month. And then, you know, that'll carry it too. So they can still get, you know, that sponsorship.
It's like a 3-month gap between when they stop and when they stop with USA and start with Netflix. Yeah. So it's,
you know, they don't have anything to put on there. You know, that's just what, an extra hour of Law and Order. So, you know, now what would be smart is if Tony Khan would throw a show over on USA. I don't know what. It doesn't have to be a wrestling show in reference to, you know, the actual matches. It could be a behind the scenes. It could, or even, you know, show Dynamites from the beginning. Just because. Like, hey, we'll fill up that slot. WWE is gone for 3 months. We'll fill up that slot with some content just for 3 months. Quick little, you know, we'll pay you to show our content. How about that? And then let the sponsorships fall where they may. But, you know, just get that out there. But that's cool. I was just curious, like I said, to see what your thoughts were about it, because that's a huge deal. And a lot of folks are still talking negatively about it. But that it's going to be a positive. Like you said,
And all those who feel like they don't need to get the CW app, I mean, I know it's on cable and, you know, it's over the air or whatever, but the CW app is free. And if you get the CW app, you also get NWA.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that'll be an extra added bonus for you if you want to catch up what's going on with the NWA right now.
Shoot, so, they're smart. Hint, hint, Triple H or whoever is listening to us, as always, they need to do a Pluto thing and put, you know, some of their 80s, you know, the OG Raws or whatever on Pluto and let that run 24/7. Shoot, they could run, you know what, 10 years worth of content without anything ever looping. But that would just be, you know, something extra. You just run it and you don't have to worry about, you know, the censorships and all that stuff. Even though the stuff on Pluto, they can just put up whatever they want to put up, you know, depending on which one of those channels you're watching. But I think that would also be a smart thing for people that are living that streaming life. Just go back and watch, you know, Hulkamania at its finest. You know, why not? Just do something cool. But that's my soapbox. Any last things you want to talk about and plug? I was trying to scroll through and see, you know, what else may have been coming out of tonight on the Twitter X's. I know we're creeping up on Mox versus Hobbs. RVD was at AEW for obviously Happy 420 Day. But don't really see too much popping off recently. I have to scroll through the feed. But is there anything else you want to talk about before we let these folks go for the night?
No, I'm pretty good over here.
All right. Well, we plug Dynasty. So everybody take a moment, find a way to watch it so that way we can see if Sumo is correct in forecasting an MJF storm showing up tomorrow. And that'll tell us everything we need to know. But if he doesn't show, then there is an opportunity for him to slot in and maybe go up against Cody Rhodes and one of and the Crown Jewel or something like that. Because if you're going to do it, you might as well do it for a super payday. Since they're liking to travel globally now, then that would be something that they could throw in a Crown Jewel and get some extra money for. So for the Nubian Sumo, thanks for showing up. Thanks for hanging out on the mothership. The big guy KG will be back with us soon. He's on special crazy assignment. He probably was just extra hurt and didn't want to eat crow and watching. I'm glad he wasn't here, actually, because, you know, you had the Midnight Rider hyping you up 2 weeks ago, and now you have your advocate bringing you in. So, man, I know that he would have been really sad and upset to see that live and on camera. So you saved that man's life tonight by him being on special assignment. That's so kind of you.
Oh, well, it's hard to be humble when you are champion.
Well, wear it in good stride. As always, you know, diversify your bonds.
Nubian Sumo, Ichiban.